tonight. Ticket pricing has gone to tears. It's like the food pyramid, but for people who don't plan their vacation. The Flower and Garden Festival kicked off this week, but budget cuts have left them already firing 10 of the 29 butterflies. And we're not even starting yet. And Josh from EZWDW.com is here. Hope no one from Touring Plans is listening. You've read WDW News Today. Now you'll listen to WDW News Tonight.
Live from Orlando, Florida, this is WDW News Tonight. Now, here are your hosts, Tom Corliss and Nick Cicero.
Things already going about as well as they normally do.
We just have an excited
on
studio
this program.
Audience.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Tom Corliss, and you're not welcome to News Tonight. In 2 weeks, Nick, we're too rusty. It's been too long.
I guess so. I guess so. But the audience is apparently happy, more than
big
willing.
Big crowd. Hello to the 58 people now out there in the chat.
Yep.
Welcome aboard.
So you had you had some excursions and stuff.
There's stuff going on.
Good,
yeah,
good.
There's stuff going on. So things are good.
I was here waiting for you, and you never showed up.
When?
It's like the sad kid that his parents didn't pick him up after school.
Oh, you were supposed to have a show last week.
That's true.
And, like, you texted me like an hour before, this ain't happening.
Ain't happening. Not happening.
Warning, I'm not here next week, but this show's happening.
Happening.
So I don't know how big of a disaster that's going to be. We'll see. So, anyway, joining me, of course, as always, Nicholas Cicero's over there in the other room. And actually, there's a camera on him. Look at that.
Yep.
It's amazing.
I forgot my hat of the week.
You did forget your hat.
I also forgot to shave.
I have my souvenir. Oh. Bumming it this week. I have my souvenir cup, as always. Brought my Jock Lindsay snake glass, which everyone hates.
I'm too used to audio only.
People are saying Tom is cute to some. Thanks, Jalen and Jayden. I do all right.
How do you see these comments?
It's in the chat at listen.wdwnt.com. Also available inside your air conditioner.
Which is that in color.
I've been joking that Michelle's in like a giant air conditioner. What it looks like.
Where my dog is currently trapped, apparently.
There's a dog trapped in this air conditioner with her. We're raising money for them tonight. With your help, we can get them out of there. So anyway, Michelle Wargo, our wonderful announcer, joining us as always.
Hello.
So. We got through the first 150th of the script. We're on a roll. It's 9:05. Let's keep going. Yay! Let's do news. How about news?
Let's
do some news. Talked about it at the top of the show briefly. In addition to the annual price increases across all forms of tickets, one-day tickets have now gone to a seasonal tiered pricing scale. And so depending on the season you visit, a one-day ticket can cost more or less. It's broken into three seasons. There is the value season, the regular season, and the peak season. And so that's it's in effect now, and that's
good.
The thing.
This is good, I think. I think this is a good thing.
It's a form of crowd control.
It is.
That's what I tried to tell people. It's a crowd control thing. You know, it might seem like a minority to you people that buy one-day tickets. It really is, but in the end, that might help. People might be a little discouraged to go try and buy a one-day ticket on Christmas Day when they see that price. So maybe it'll convince them to come in a different time of year. Who knows? We'll see how it works. See if it does anything. I don't even have a joke for that. That's kind of the moral of this week's show.
It's money.
We just don't have a joke for it.
So, do you normally have jokes? I mean, this is my second time.
Okay.
Wow, I deserve that.
Yes!
She got the first one of the night.
She did. That's probably the funniest thing you're going to hear tonight, in fairness. Yeah, just go with it. All right. So talking about money, we're going to talk about money a lot tonight. Despite Disney's refusal to make comment, heavy budget cuts are continuing at the domestic parks. In just the last few days, there have been multiple reports of many unstaffed positions at the parks, leading to longer lines at restaurant shops and resort front desks. These reports have come, of course, after we ran the story a couple weeks ago about the labor cuts coming to U.S. parks, thanks to Shanghai and the continuing struggles over there in Paris. In addition, a spokesperson for the Actors Equity Association has now come out and stated that 10 of 29 Streetmosphere performers, not butterflies, at Disney's Hollywood Studios will not be having their contracts renewed. So 10 Street Misfire performers walk into an unemployment line? No? That's as good as they're getting tonight.
That's a big loss for you, though.
It is. I love Street.
That's your favorite thing. Now they'll have time to come here.
Yeah. We'll hire them, sure. They got to be better than we are at this, right? Rumors also indicate that the Trad Nation, that it's a new group in Epcot performing out there in Canada, is going to get cut in April, but that could be unrelated to budgetary concerns. Really, Disney, this is how you repay them for being slightly more tolerable than Lumberjacks? Really?
The sad thing is, because I knew about, you know, obviously about the Lumberjacks that preceded them, and you said, do the budget cuts. I thought there was a much worse joke coming there with Lumberjacks and chainsaws and cutting things.
So. If we had had time this week, there would have.
Okay.
But
we'll have the sound effects for that?
You're asking too much.
A little too much. Calm down there, Michelle.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Disney Springs Town Center. They did the. They put out the big announcement. Basically, 30 new tenants for that when it opens in phases, beginning May 15th, which basically means hey, may not all be ready at once. Among the new shops are Sephora, Oakley, and Columbia. You know, stuff at the outlet. Also announced, there are several new dining venues overlooking the springs, the heart and soul of the property. There is Deluxe Burger.
Oh, now I get it.
I could taste the puns already. I'm sure it'll be delicious. Yep. The Disney-owned and operated burger concept. Look at that. She's laughing at it. We got one. gourmet burgers made from a signature blend of beef, unique toppings, and freshly baked buns.
As opposed to...
Yeah. I don't know.
Now I get
it. As opposed to counter service.
Well, now I get it. I don't think they typed it out like you did. You have a big D with hyphen.
Nobody does it like that. Yeah, no.
I don't think they did that. I didn't understand.
Meanwhile, over in Marketplace, Fulton's Crab House will open as a new concept this fall. The new concept, edible.
Ayo!
Anyway. The reimagined restaurant will welcome guests with a bow to stern update, including interiors reflecting the crisp luxury of modern yachting, everybody. Get ready.
Get on board.
It's going to be a good time on the old Empress Lily. And new spaces include a lushly appointed rooftop lounge. And you can already hear people yelling overboard. Anyway, so that's happening among a number of things. Go to WWNT.com if you want to read the full rundown of all those locations. Anyway, Josh, you're still here, right? You haven't left us yet. This isn't bad enough for you to leave yet? All right.
Hi, Josh.
Josh joining us soon. I know that's why everybody's here. But anyway.
He took my hat of the week.
He does have a cool. You'll see it when we get him. We'll get him on camera, even though he doesn't want to be.
Oh, is he not? Oh, he doesn't want to be.
No, he doesn't want. Oh, there. Wait, he's creeping in. There he is. Man, you're all waiting for. All right, this is my time. Back out.
Just a taste.
No comment. Disney announced Rivers of Light. We have a date. We have a date, April 22nd. The show set on the Discovery River in the Asia section of the park will depict ancient lantern festival guided by two storytellers who call forth four animal spirit guides, an Asian tiger, a tropical turtle, an African elephant, and a great horned owl. And these spirit guides return at different points during the show to lead the audience through their journey through the rivers of light. Disney announced this week in a pretty much uneventful live stream that the two seating areas for the show reportedly will hold 5,000 guests combined, which is more than the park has ever held after 3 p.m. So that's exciting. 5,000.
I can't tell if that's a joke.
The joke is they think they're getting 5,000 people in that viewing area. That's the joke. That's the joke. That thing holds less than a universe of energy car. If you want to be honest. If you really looked at it, geez, they're not getting 5,000 people in there. That's like Universal saying they're going to get 5,000 people in the park in 2004. It's not a thing. So, we're talking about Animal Kingdom. Let's talk about nighttime safaris. Joe Rohde, you may remember at D23, said, starting in spring, guests will get to experience the African savanna at Animal Kingdom in a whole new light amid the orange glow of the setting sun. During the nighttime adventure, guests will extend their travels on the safaris into the evening. So we kind of wondered, how are they going to do this eternal sunset? How do you keep everything orange? And so I went out to a Zootopia media event about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Now,
and they drove us through the back of the park. And as we drove through the back, there was this real bright orange glow. And it was these giant custom-shaped LED screens that raised up over the savannah. So that's how they're going to do it. Of course, there'll be a combination of other lights, too. But giant LED screens.
That's crazy.
So basically, they're putting a universal attraction behind the savannah. Just missing the goggles, 3D goggles. And
so are they lights or is it like a screen that you see?
It's an LED screen, but it's real bright.
Hmm.
Very, very bright.
Interesting.
And to complete the orange glow, they're going to pour jungle juice on everything. That's the worst joke of the week. You should have the worst joke of the week noise.
I don't have that.
It's okay.
But that's, you know, that's good stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
Get free jungle juice when you go on the ride.
Still no replacement for jungle gyms, though. But anyway.
No.
Look it up, kids.
The drum popcorn bucket is back, I say.
The drum popcorn bucket is back.
I was excited about that post.
Yeah, it is exciting. It's a pretty cool little souvenir piece. Is popcorn up? Popcorn prices up now? No. Everything else is, though.
You guys are making me so hungry.
Just wait.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Second half of the show, Flower and Garden.
Yeah, we got to talk about this whole leaflet.
Eating to the beat.
We eat to some beats.
The Eat to the Meat concert series, whatever the hell it's called. That's it, right? That's it. I don't know.
Eat to the meat, yes.
Yeah.
The Eat Your Meat concert series. Anyway, where am I? There's a script. It's rumored. We told you a couple of weeks ago. We told you there was going to be some changes to the Star Wars fireworks. Hollywood Studios are coming, but as well, there's some other entertainment offerings coming. The Force will officially awaken at the park on April 4th, and that's after the entire back of the park goes to sleep. And that will be the debut of the brand new Star Wars stage show, Star Wars A Galaxy Far, Far Away, which is also the opening date for Star Wars Land, Far, Far Away. The new show will play out iconic moments from the film saga on center stage and will feature appearances from Star Wars characters such as Kylo Ren, Chewbacca, Darth Vader, and Darth Maul. And also starting April 4th, Captain Phasma will be leading a platoon of First Order stormtroopers on a march from Star Wars Launch Bay to center stage multiple times a day. So pretty much across what's left of the park. Pretty much the whole distance. Anyway. Also starting this summer, there will be... They don't get better, folks. There will be a new Star Wars fireworks show, Star Wars A Galactic Spectacular. New nightly show is the next generation of the current show, combining fireworks, pyrotechnics, special effects, and video projections that will turn the nearby Chinese theater and other buildings into the Twin Suns of Tatooine, a field of battle droids, the Trench of the Death Star, and Starkiller Base, among a number of Star Wars destinations. And the show will be punctuated with a tower of fire and spotlight beams, creating massive lightsabers in the sky. You know, the Tower of Fire will just be from them burning down the back of the park, but it'll look great during the show. The new show will reportedly be the most elaborate fireworks display to take place in the park. However, more elaborate, the park functioning after April 3rd. Don't know how they're doing it, but yeah.
It'll pay off.
Yeah. So, Nick, obviously, I hope you saw the Disneyland 60 TV special.
I did. Yeah. It wasn't what I was expecting, but I enjoyed it.
Were you expecting something good? Have you not seen one of these TV specials before? Because the Danny Kaye ones are great, but that's because they're so bad, they're good.
Well, yeah. It was like an awards presentation show without the awards.
So like the Oscars. Yeah.
It was weird. There was a weird tone to it. But I liked the musical numbers. I love the We Love Disney album.
And I do,
so,
too.
So I enjoyed the... I really,
I like
really enjoyed the Tori Kelly Kermit Rainbow Connection duet.
Yeah.
That was fun. And, yeah.
Was, I like Harrison stuff. Ford's, like, sigh of relief, like, this is it. Ugh. I'm done with Star Wars. It's like, this is the final moment.
Mm. The Star Wars concert was cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But the real highlight, the reason I'm bringing this up, was obviously the preview of Star Wars Land that we got during the show. It was pretty neat. We had a short video where they shared some of the Millennium Falcon ride, where guests will not only take the controls of the classic vessel, but control the guns as well. So you'll be shooting at the First Order and all sorts of fun stuff. And we also got a short video of the other ride, which doesn't really have a name, but the race against time attraction in the midst of a battle between the First Order and the Resistance. And we also got a look at, they told us about the dinner show restaurant. That's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a dinner show restaurant. And
that's exciting.
Yeah. Special stated that guests will be transported to another world where they can interact with roaming aliens and droids. You know, so pretty much like 192. All sorts of strange characters. And, you know, you never know. So, yeah. What do you think of the preview? Anything particularly exciting? I'm excited about the dinner show restaurant. I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea. Hopefully it really comes to fruition of almost like a giant video game that I go play where I'm sitting in the Millennium Falcon. It seems like it's going to be a lot like the, I forget what it's called, that D23 Expo. They had that that video game system where you get the battle pods.
Oh, the battle pod. Yeah, yeah.
Battle pods.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that.
Seems like a park version of that. It seems like it's gonna, you know, you're gonna control your own outcome. It's gonna be a little, I guess it's like a video game, so it's gonna be different every time you play.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, you're supposed to be able to control the destinations you go to.
Yeah,
so it's pretty interesting.
I just don't understand how you keep the wait time manageable.
We'll see. Supposedly, it's not just a simulator. It's supposedly on some sort of track. So we'll see.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
We'll find out.
The other thing looks like an Escape from Gringotts type deal.
I can only hope it's not. that's just awful.
Yeah, I'm most excited about just walking through the world there and encountering things and making my own story, as they say.
Yeah, I can't wait to visit the cantina, but Josh is telling me they already raised the prices. It's not even. Don't pay attention to us. No, it's okay. starting in April, Epcot Character Spot's going to provide direct access to headquarters where you can meet Joy and Sadness, two of the emotions from Inside Out. On the way to headquarters, your journey through Riley's long-term memory, which no longer includes interventions. So you'll even catch a glimpse of her islands of personality, like Goofball Island, Friendship Island, and the one that's been replaced with the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. It was almost worth coming to do a show tonight. One joke. Guests can meet Joy and Sadness at the console inside Riley's mind, and Joy and Sadness will join Baymax in the newly expanded Epcot character spot located in what was Interventions West. And it's funny, I thought Sadness was already at Epcot, but that's just what I feel every time I go to the park in its current state.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww, there's I love
where,
Epcot.
There's where that was. And there's where that was.
Well, that's true. Am I the only person in this group that did not like Inside Out?
Apparently. Really? What's not the like?
It was horrible.
Wow.
Horrible? Like,
it was
like
so
really
boring.
Bad? Okay.
It was emotional.
Have
touching.
You seen Zootopia?
No, not yet.
Oh, you really should. It's amazing. But anyway, more on that later. We have more. Okay.
We do. We have a lot.
You
more
do have a. You have a lot more on that. It's only 9:21. We should keep going. You know, Nick, the wait is over.
Yeah.
No, not for Avatar Land. Don't be ridiculous.
Avatar joke of the week. Am I the only one dancing? I'm not looking at the cameras.
No, Michelle's dancing. No, the wait is over for Purple Magic Bands. What? You can now get those as your complimentary magic band. No resort fee. You could have it mailed to you. Impatient guests have already been able to buy these bands, but yeah, still no burnt sienna, though. I'm waiting.
I don't understand the deal. Like, were people actually like saying, hey, I need a Purple Magic
like,
Band?
Like, from the moment they announced magic bands and they showed the colors, people freaked out.
Why? What is it with purple?
Freaked out. I don't know. People like purple. I don't know. It's a pretty common color to not have.
Why did that go off?
What'd you do?
I don't know.
You broke something already?
I always have camera problems. I'm just not meant to be.
Are you off already?
I might be.
Yeah, I don't see you.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
He's off.
Configuring Windows update.
Great.
Bam.
That's going to take you off the air, isn't it?
No, we don't go off the air for anything.
Okay.
No, it's just the camera that's on me. Yeah. That one. All right. It's a different system.
Nick's not important anyway. Let's keep going. And what seems to be a reoccurring theme as of late, Walt Disney World is raising prices on the Disney dining plan. The changes went into effect today, March 9th, bringing about roughly a 3% price increase. On the bright side, it's not seasonal.
I can be myself now that I'm not on camera.
What was that?
I can be myself now that I'm not on camera.
Does the camera make you uncomfortable?
I don't have to act for the camera.
All right.
I have to act interested in Tom's jokes.
I always pretend I'm on camera my whole life. Like the Truman Show. But anyway. Apparently, Disney is surveying guests to see what they think of a nightly fee that would quote-unquote cover resort guest amenities such as Magic Bands, Magical Express, Extra Magic Hours, etc. Of course, these are all things that have been complimentary with your resort stay since the beginning of time, so it would be interesting to see Disney market these items. However, don't get your hopes up. It's probably just a thing they're asking about. I don't think it'll ever happen, but nonetheless, they asked if guests would be okay with a $15 charge every night for things like that. But hey, $15 is still less than some meals at Flame Tree Barbecue. So.
I'm afraid to go to the parks and eat.
You gotta hate on my
Josh
favorite.
Is gonna make you really afraid to go eat at the parks momentarily. So yeah. Very quickly, before we move on, I want to bring in Jason and Ron real quick to talk about a couple of these news stories. Is Ron there? We have Ron still?
I'm here.
Okay. No camera.
Hey. Ron's hey, howdy, hey.
But let's talk about the resort fee. That's never gonna happen, right? We're pretty sure.
I doubt it. They've always had the premium pricing to incorporate that kind of stuff as opposed to, you know, the hotels that try and advertise the lower price.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of think that, you know, they're just trying to gauge feedback from people because, you know, every other hotel in Orlando that has a pool charges a resort fee to cover something or other. You know, maybe it's the transportation to Disney World that they're trying to cover with that resort fee, but, you know, whether it's just trying to cover, the costs or, you know, the additional. Yes, I have Ronald Reagan behind me.
Yeah, he's making fun of the Reagan.
I'm not making fun of the Reagan. It's in honor of Nancy Reagan's death. But anyway, or something like that. Every other hotel in Orlando has a resort fee, and it's still not clear to me what it's for. Even places like Great Wolf Lodge have resort fees. It's not clear what they're for because you pay a lot of money to go to Great Wolf Lodge to go in the water park, so it's clearly not for that. So I don't know. It's kind of just an additional tax that Disney collects and keeps versus, you know, Orange County tax or whatnot.
Yeah.
It will certainly diminish the attractiveness of a Disney on property resort if you start having to pay for stuff that used to be free. That's kind of my thought.
Yeah.
And I'd rather just have them raise a price than add a hidden fee.
Rather it still just say included.
Right. Yeah, I mean every other hotel in Orlando has the hidden fee because they can get away with it. You'd think Disney would kind of be above that.
Yeah.
And they're trying to hide that fee because they show up on Orbitz or Priceline.
Exactly. They're in competition where Disney really's not in competition.
Yeah.
I know one reason that my parents don't go hang out at the Universal hotels is because you have to pay for parking. So people aren't going to go to the Disney hotels and go to those bars and hang out if you have to pay $15 to park.
Well, you have to pay to park at the Swan and Dolphin. That's been around for a couple of years now.
But you can walk there from the other ones.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they have resort fees, too.
Yep.
Yeah, they do. That's right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the rest of the Disney resorts are trying to get in line with Swan and Dolphin.
Which is not something anyone should do.
No, not a good idea.
Yeah. No, don't try to line up with the Swan and Dolphin. But Jason, I know what else you wanted to talk about, the dining plan increase?
I guess we could talk about the dining plan. The one thing that I wanted to mention that I haven't seen, I haven't seen discussed at all in regards to the resort fee is whether that's going to apply to DVC resorts, because you know, DVC members.
Well, I mean, this was just a survey. I don't know if we're thinking.
No, I know, but I think you know, one of the big attractions of DVC is that you can stay on points and there's no cash out of pocket. So I don't think they're going to start charging DVC members. I think there'd be a huge uproar if they started charging $15 a night resort fee to DVC members. But that's something that I didn't see talked about at all in relation to this survey thing. But yeah, the other thing I want to talk about was the dining plan, just because any price increase in the dining plan is likely to reduce the number of people that take advantage of the dining plan, and hopefully soon it will go away.
Well, I wanted to comment on the DVC thing. I was talking to some people on Twitter who are hotel industry people and know the things, and they said they cannot charge timeshare that resort fee under timeshare laws.
Oh, that's good. Very good. I mean, they're certainly free to charge people who stay at DVC resorts on cash or whatnot, but that's good that if you're staying on points, then they can't charge it. That's very good to hear.
Because you're already paying that fee
right
as part of your upkeep every year.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's all in the contracts and everything that you signed when you joined. They can't just tack on random fees later.
Yeah. Well, you guys have anything else to add? Well, no, we got to get a contestant. Hold on. Before we go to commercial.
All right.
When we come back, I have a game. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we played a game, which was, what was it called?
Game.
It was opening day. Well, not that one.
Oh,
it was opening day California Adventure or stuff. Tom is making up. Mm-hmm. I have a new game tonight. If you've seen Zootopia, you know, in the background of Zootopia, there's a lot of really fun little references, fake companies, fake names, things like that. So the game we have tonight is in the background of Zootopia or stuff I'm making up. So first person who calls in, I'm going to give them 10. There's going to be 10 of these. And you have to tell me if three toothpick holders. Yeah, pretty neat. So it's 407-774-8255, right?
What if you didn't see Zootopia?
You could still try.
You could try.
It's probably worth it for this shot glass set.
I think that's a nice set of shot glasses.
So first caller right now.
All right, 407-774-8255.
I'll be right back.
Coming up on WDW News Tonight, a look at Zootopia. Tom and Nick are angry about things. Josh from EasyWDW.com and more.
Zootopia opened up to rave reviews and box office success. And you've heard from us and a lot of the critics out there. But what did the filmmakers have to say about this film? In part one of our Zootopia series, we hear from co-director Jared Bush, along with producers Clark Spencer and Phil Johnson.
The best animated films can operate on multiple levels, and you can bury theme in a way that it's still highly entertaining, but you're saying something, and it's about something, and you know, there's a fable-like quality to it.
We didn't want this movie to be about a specific group. We wanted everyone to see any part of their life within these two groups, and people that don't get along for whatever reason or have preconceived notions of somebody else. And so that was very important to us to have a story that could begin a conversation. I want to take my children to a movie where the children would watch it and have questions afterwards. And we don't want to button everything up, certainly don't want to do a message movie, but we certainly, it would be great if people walked out wanting to ask questions and start a conversation.
Yeah. I think tone is the most exciting thing about this movie for me, in that it's going to play for adults and kids equally and on different levels. So as far as the scary goes, and you can say the same about the comedy, there's some sophisticated comedy in this movie, I think. And I would just, I had my son who's 4 and my daughter who's 6 at the premiere and the other night, and I just whispered to him, okay, this part's going to freak you out. Just sort of prepare the kids that there's a lot of adventure and there's some big scares. But I think, A, kids are smart enough and sophisticated enough much more so than we often give them credit for, that they can understand and appreciate this kind of film. And then we as parents just love watching it because it's not pandering. It's not talking down to kids, and it's actually full-on entertainment. So that for me is the goal of making it a tone that can work on multiple levels, and that's the best kind of family film.
Even more so than the actual animal characters that inhabited Zootopia, the filmmakers talked about the dynamics of the city and building such a lush and realistic world.
We spent months and months and months figuring out what the history of this world would be. That will never be in the movie. We literally said, okay, it started around this watering hole. What happens next? When do these animals stop eating other animals? Why would that have happened? When do they get the right kind of plants that would have enough protein in it for them to do that? They would have to have agriculture by that point. How's the dynamic? Predators would be in charge, but at some point, if they're not eating each other, then prey animals would come in. They're not being eaten anymore, so how would they feel about this dynamic? And we spent... I think it was probably 8 months, and we would go through very detailed pitches of world history that were drawn beautifully to show exactly how this world came to be. And right now we're just seeing the mammal continent, but we also built out the world itself. So there's other places we don't go to. We always thought there's probably a reptile continent somewhere. The birds are going to be somewhere different, but we had to really focus it to mammals for this one. Also, the different burrows that you see, I think right now we have 5, but we built out probably 10 of them that we didn't get to go to, like Outback Island or the Nocturnal District. So we really spent a lot of time making it very, very real, which allowed us to cherry pick those things as we went through the movie to figure out what would be the best places for our characters to go.
I think one of the keys is John said, don't ever forget the city is a character itself.
Yeah.
I think that really was an important element to say, don't just let there be this backdrop with this story with these animals. Like, let the city be a character. So really think about how you can create this district and how would you think about it from a design standpoint and how do you use scale in the film. All those elements come in to make the city be a character in and of itself.
And we spent the first pretty much 8 months working on this movie just researching what the world would be like. And early on we figured out, oh, it'd be really neat if the city was divided into districts by habitat. When we went to Kenya, we found that the predator and prey actually intermingled all the time. You usually think of, well, land would be here and then you'd have gazelle way over there. They wouldn't like each other. But out in the wild, they're typically around a watering hole at the same time. It's usually just one that's not freaking out. And they're, you know, for the most part, they kind of get along until someone needs to eat. Mm-hmm. And so we found, oh, that's really interesting for this movie to put them all around one central place and have them all within this giant city. It felt like it made a lot of sense. Now, we knew that there was going to be a mystery and a detective story and they have to go from place to place. But sometimes you'd say, okay, what's the most interesting place they could go to next? And we'd go there. And based on the research, feeling like, where's the scariest place to have a chase with Mr. Monchus? Where's that going to be? What kind of animal should they find? Going to the rainforest, that felt really exciting. And then to think, okay, well, we're going to make him a rainforest animal. And then we had Mr. Monchus. Early on, there was thought, well, maybe there's a bear. It would have to be in a different part of town or tundra town. But the research actually told us where to set these places. Early on, we had the idea of a watering hole. In our research, most of the things in the animal world happen around a watering hole. And you have all types of animals around the watering hole. You have predators and prey, a lot of intermingling. And when we went to Africa, you'd see big groups of animals come in. And, you know, cape buffalo would be there. They'd push out the gazelles. But then elephants would come in and they'd push out the cape buffalo. But it was all designed around this central watering hole. And if you look at the city, right outside of where the city hall is and the police station, there's this big water fountain. And that actually is meant to be the watering hole upon which the city was built tens of thousands of years ago. And for us, sort of being able to center around that, and even thinking about sort of a corkscrew nature of the way the districts are built around that was a real grounding thing for us.
In Zootopia, we meet a lot of interesting characters. But for our main characters, why did the filmmaker settle on a fox and a rabbit?
Robin Hood was such a huge part of his childhood. And he knew he wanted to have a fox character. And early on, the idea that they would be natural enemies, a fox and a rabbit, made a lot of sense. Over the course of the production, there were many times where we questioned that. Should we have it be a fox and a rabbit, or should it be a rabbit and something much bigger? Would that be a better dynamic if it was a much bigger predator? But ultimately, we thought it would be great if both these characters were underdogs in their world. Both of them felt like they were trying to prove something to their world.
Coming up later in part two of our Zootopia series, we will hear from the voices behind Nick Wilde and Judy Hopps.
Nick, are we angry about this?
You know what, Tom? I have to say an emphatic yes.
I have access to the entire curse word library. This new console is done.
It's a damn poor mind indeed. Can't think of at least two ways to spell a word.
No privacy. It's all around this place.
I don't like Sam.
I don't like change.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was down.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Oh, Tom. I got up today with an email, right? And I clicked on it, and it was for like a D23 article, like D23 email. I was like, oh, let me go in here and see what cool stuff I can look at on the D23 website. And it had me sign in. I went to sign in, and it's not letting me sign in. It's saying, no, you're not a member. For us, sign
I mean,
up
you
here.
Were venting to me about
oh,
this earlier.
Oh, my God, Tom. No. But this extends way further than D23, and I did not have time to deal with this today. I got my good dinosaur Blu-ray, tried to put in my Disney movie rewards points. I had 0 points all of a sudden. Why do I have 0 points? I went and clicked on my order history. It said I didn't order anything. I've ordered lots of stuff with my Disney movie reward points. But, like, and then, oh, yeah. What was the other thing? My like account for the parks and stuff. I don't even know. Is that linked into this? Because all of a sudden, it's not seeing any of my Magic Bands. It's not seeing any of my stuff.
Broken.
Nothing is linked. Like, I went to DisneyStore.com. I went to DisneyStore.com. Signed in. It has no record of any of my past orders. I've ordered lots of stuff from DisneyStore.com. No records of anything. I, like, don't exist according to Disney anymore.
They've erased your identity.
They have. Why would
your
they do that?
Your only identity was your Disney Online.
I don't have time to deal with... Oh! My Disney Movies Anywhere. It's saying I have, like, one movie. It's not, I have lots of movies that are linked to that account that I can watch anywhere. What happened?
I don't know.
You know about this.
I know it's a thing. Like, I had problems a while ago when they started doing this, but...
Nothing.
Yeah.
I have no movie reward points. I have no movies that I can watch anywhere.
Have fun contacting them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm gone.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
That's pretty bad. I can top you, though.
Go for it.
I love Zootopia. I don't think there's been any...
Say that again.
I do. I think it's been Zootopia. No secret. Everyone's seen me tweeting about it and whatever. There's one thing about this whole thing that has me really annoyed. It's this furry thing. We're going to get controversial for a minute, if we may. This is a wonderful movie with a wonderful message, and I'm not sure why either the furry community or the general public have to make this about something it's not. If people who are furries decide they want to enjoy this movie, that's great. That's fantastic. It's not about them, though. And they shouldn't make it about them. And on a second note, the people in the general public, because these people want to go see a movie, which is their right, living in a free country, to go see a movie in whatever attire they want to, as long as they're not, you know, flashing people. You know, like, let them go to the movies. They're not, like, both sides of this equation need to come. I don't know if you've seen, there's, like, news articles and stuff about this now.
Read up
on this. It's becoming a big thing. I have no problem with people who decide they want to wear animal costumes. It's great. That's your right. And I don't, but I don't understand why people need to attack them or why they need to make the movie about it. Both sides are wrong. It is a wonderful film for everyone, and people should see it, and it's a movie, and we should all just let it be a great movie.
So, furries are like, this movie's like for our community, and they're
they
like...
feel, because they're anthropomorphic animals.
Right.
Like, this isn't the first movie of any kind that's about talking animals who wear modern-day attire. That's not a new
weird
concept, so I don't know what's going on, but it's, like, I just... Like, I just want Zootopia to be Zootopia. Everybody needs to calm down. It's not You know, it's a movie with a nice message. It's not about people who like to wear fur costumes. It's not about people hating on people who like to wear fur costumes. Just go enjoy this movie for what it is, and like, it's not about.
So if you were sitting in the theater and a group of furries sat next to you, would you get up and move?
I don't think I'd move, but, like, I don't... It doesn't bother me that they're furries. It bothers me that, like, they're making this about being a furry when it's not. It's just a movie.
Do they watch with the heads
on? It's not like it's a movie about... I don't know. I imagine that'd be uncomfortable in a movie.
Uncomfortable? And I can complain about the
you can if they're blocking your view.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't. You shouldn't hinder the movie-going experience of other people around you.
That's true.
I don't know. I just, like, they're making this a whole thing, and it doesn't need, like, neither side of this situation needs to exist.
I got to read up on that. Maybe
there's a couple of news like stories about it. It's kind of becoming a thing.
Next week while you're not here, we might have to have a furry debate.
Go for it.
Both sides.
Yeah.
What side are you on, Josh? Furry, no furry?
I'm not picking a side between furries or not. That wasn't my argument. But.
Well, I can't imagine this is a widespread thing. Like, if we went to Disney Springs tomorrow,
I don't think that's
no, probably not.
Interesting.
But there are, I've seen, like, in that news article, there's pictures of, like, these movie theaters where they had, like, furries had a group showing where they had, like, the furry community, like, a bunch of them locally got together and, like, they took a picture in front of the movie screen. And, like, I don't know. Like, that's great that people are getting together. I just think I don't like this whole public, like, war about it that's slowly building.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like cosplay has become so mainstream.
Yeah. Josh's mic is plugged in. I'll have to come fix that while we're playing the game.
What happened?
I don't think Josh's mic is plugged in.
Are they picking him up on this one?
Yeah, I'll come fix that when I while we're playing.
Can I just swing another mic around him?
Sure, go for it. You got yellow?
Can I swing that around?
You can. There you go.
There we go. There's yellow. Try it out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, great.
All right, so we got two contestants on the line, Tom.
All right, let's do this. Where's my bell?
In the background of Zootopia or blank, okay. Tom is making up.
Yeah.
So do you want them both on at the same time?
Yeah, bring them on.
All right, we're going to bring them both on. They're going to go against each other. First of all, we have Georgia calling in from California. How you doing, Georgia?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. Have you seen Zootopia yet?
I have.
All right, very good. Did you pay attention to everything in the background?
I hope so.
All right. We'll see how well you do. We're going to bring on the other contestant. This is Jeremy from Maryland. How you doing, Jeremy?
Good. How you doing?
Excellent. Now, have you seen Zootopia yet?
No, I'm going to have to trust my gut.
Ooh. All right.
You should go see it, because in case you haven't heard, it's wonderful.
Georgia might have a leg up on you here.
Gosh,
we'll
I don't think I've told enough people how much I love this movie.
He loves
it. You should see it. It's
Zootopia.
Really good.
It's got Georgia's stamp of approval.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take turns. I have 10 of these. So whoever gets the most of their 5 correct is going to win this fabulous Epcot 30th toothpick holder set.
Love
it. So again, I'm going to give you the name of something. You're going to tell me, is it actually in the movie or did I make it up? That's what we're going to go. Who called in first?
Georgia.
All right, Georgia, you're going to go first. Tell me, is it in the background of Zootopia or am I making it up? New Balance, but instead of N-E-W, it's the animal new. New Balance.
I remember the Nike references for sure. But I don't think that New Balance was also in there. I think it was just the Nike reference.
That is incorrect. New Balance is in the background.
No.
It's actually when they're pulling into the station on the train.
Oh, wow.
There you go. What are you laughing at?
She sounds so disappointed. I'm sorry. I haven't seen it. I would help you. And I would also say, do not Google furry.
Yeah, don't. Don't do that.
Oh, sorry. I think I had the thing off. I don't know if Michelle was talking. I saw her going up.
Hello.
There. Hi.
I said, oh, my goodness.
Sorry. Yeah. Did you Google furry, too?
No, I'm about to.
Better put that safe search on.
Did not make a bigger mistake.
Big mistake. Huge.
Just remember, you cannot undo that search.
Yep. So when the government seizes your computer and finds that, you have to explain it. But anyway, who's our other contestant?
Jeremy.
Bad with names. Jeremy, the store Targoat Is it in the movie, or am I making it up?
And I definitely shouldn't pass, right?
You can't pass. This is your question. You got to give me one or the other.
I'll say not in the movie.
It is in the movie.
Ooh.
One of the shopping bags that the mouse that almost gets hit with the donut.
Yeah.
Well, now I really want to see it.
Yeah. Tar goat. All right. Georgia. Bug Burgers. A restaurant called Bug Burgers.
Bug Burgers?
Bug Burgers. B-U-R-G-A-S. They spelt it a fancy way.
Huh.
Bug Burgers.
I'm going to say that one was in there.
It is in the movie. That's correct. Nice. 1-0.
That was a font hint.
He did say they spelled it.
I did, didn't I?
He gave it away.
Shh. This next one would be real easy, Jeremy, if you'd seen the movie. So I'm going to give you this one. Fox Away.
How would it have been spelled if it was in the movie?
If it was in the movie, it would be spelled F-O-X space A-W-A-Y. Fox Away. As if it was a repellent for foxes.
I'll say it's in the movie.
It is in the movie. I gave you that one. Here you go. All right. We're good at games on this show.
Yeah,
that's a gimme question right there.
Yes.
Anybody that's seen the movie.
Fair enough. All right, Georgia. Jungle Gym Fitness Center.
Jungle Gym. Not in the movie.
Not in the movie. That's correct. So it's 2-1. Jeremy, Wet Seal, but instead of it just being seal, it's an actual seal. Wet Seal.
It's spelled the same.
It is spelled the same, but there's a seal on the sign, maybe.
Maybe.
I'm going to say maybe.
In the movie.
It's not in the movie. Nope. This is the dumbest show.
This is the
Why
best
we do this?
Ever.
Georgia. McDuckles.
McDuckles. Not in the movie.
McDuckles is not in the movie. Oh. Jeremy. Elephant memory foam mattresses. Elephant memory foam mattresses.
That's in a lot of movies. Not in the movie.
That's correct.
Nice. All right. That was important for Jeremy there, because right now it's 3-2, Georgia in the lead.
If Georgia gets this one, it's over.
It's over.
Georgia? MasterCard.
MasterCard?
MasterCard. You know, instead of MasterCard?
Oh, yes. That was in the movie.
That was in the movie. That's right.
Nice. All right.
But Jeremy, Jeremy, I'll tell you what. You'll get one of these sets, too, if you're brave enough to call, and I have another one.
Ooh.
But you've got to get this last one right. That's the deal we're going to make.
Okay.
It's the last one. You're going to tell me if it's in the movie. Stop laughing. If it's in the movie or not, Oxford College, but with an ox, like a real ox. Oxford.
Is it the college?
Oxford College with like an ox.
But it's an ox.
Not in the movie.
It's not in the movie. You also get the toothpick holder set. Yay! Everybody gets one.
I'm jealous.
Courtesy of Theme Park Connection. Check them out at themeparkconnection.com.
Oh, gosh.
Michelle's jealous, is that what she's saying?
Yes.
You want a toothpick holder set?
I do.
Okay. We'll see if we can make that happen. Anyway.
All right.
Nick, what are we doing?
Thank
it's
you.
Almost 10
thank you, thank you, Georgia and Jeremy.
Yes, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hold on the line. We'll get your information. We appreciate you playing tonight. Did you want to just start talk to Josh? Get right into our interview. So we went really long. It's an it's a discussion with Josh. An evening with Josh.
Are we skipping the tip of the week?
We could do the tip of the week.
Okay, let's do the tip of the week. Is Michelle there? Tip of the week.
I am.
How you doing, Michelle? Did you want to do a tip of the week?
Yes. And now it's time for the WDWNT Now Tip of the Week. Now. When booking FastPass Plus reservations in advance, try to book them as early and as close together as possible if you wish to get even more throughout the day. Remember, once you use all three of your pre-booked FastPass reservations, then you can make additional reservation at any FastPass Plus kiosk. So the sooner you complete your third booked attraction, the sooner you can start booking even more. For more useful tips and trip planning information, be sure to visit now, WDWNT.com. And that was your WDWNT Now tip of the week. Now back to WDW News Tonight. Now.
I feel like the worst written segment ever. Thank you for reading it or attempting to read it. Josh, slide in here.
Yeah.
Please welcome our guest this week. Well, let's keep your mic, though. Oh, God, I'm breaking. I broke, like, the microphone, Nick. I don't know what's going on. We're trying to rearrange the studio now. All right, there's my mic. Now, turn here. Turn yours. Turn yours like that. Get right. Get in here, though.
Okay. Don't have to tell me twice, Tom. I'm right here, buddy.
Anyway, Josh from EZWDW.com, welcome. We had you on the radio show. We never had you on this show, but.
Yeah, how is it different?
It's completely different. It's a whole new thing. Not in any way similar. Yeah. So for those who maybe don't know who you are, what do you do? What is EZWW.com?
Oh, I have a website. It's really about theme park touring, more about visiting Disney World, what to do once you get there, where to stay, what to eat, what to do, how to do it in one specific way.
And you even have a book.
I do have a book.
There's a guidebook.
The Easy Guide to Your First Walt Disney World Visit 2016. We chose that for conciseness.
Where's that available? Everywhere books?
Just,
not everywhere.
No, books Lord, no. Yeah. If they put that in a store. No, it's just Amazon. You can put anything on Amazon. You could have a book. You could have a book on Amazon.
Oh, what does that mean? I'm also a published author. How dare you? I had like a blurb in a book, but anyway.
That's good stuff. I buy a lot on Amazon.
Do you?
I'm an Amazon Prime member now. I feel so cool.
Yeah, way to join the rest of the world.
Welcome me to the club. Josh, it was mostly to watch that TV show that I wanted to see.
Man in the High Castle?
I think that, yeah, is that
That's
it?
The one I told
you.
Yeah,
I got to watch that now. Yeah,
I didn't
really
like that.
Huh?
I didn't really like that.
You didn't like it?
I didn't really like
that. I love it. All right. Fine. It's the first of many things.
My book list.
Yeah, what was that? Is it a book?
Yeah.
Everything's a book.
I don't read.
That's obvious.
Books are terrible except Josh's, which is available on Amazon.
Yeah, totally. You totally can't get the same information on the internet. It has to be in the book.
I know we're gonna talk about the Flower Garden later, but Josh, about movies, Josh had like the and music. Josh
so
had like the best quote
we're
ever.
Walking around Flower Garden, Josh goes, "You know, I don't really like seeing new movies, but I don't really like seeing movies I've seen before either." So I turn to Josh and I go, "So you don't like movies?" He's like, "I guess you're kind of right." Like, it was the greatest statement ever made.
It was.
Maybe you had to be there.
Maybe. I don't know. It's better than what other material we have on this week's show. How long we have till break?
Like 4 minutes.
Oh. I'm not trying to get there. I just wanted to know.
I could have played another
before
Zootopia
I get
thing.
Into anything. No, it's all right.
All right, fair enough.
No, let's keep talking to Josh.
Josh.
So, number one reason I want to bring you in is because we did Flower and Garden together on Wednesday. So we're going to talk about Flower and Garden next hour.
Okay.
But the other thing we talked about in the car rides, both the one we made to Flower and Garden Wednesday, and then the one today, the 45-minute commute to the radio station. We talked a lot about food prices all over property are drastically increasing.
Yeah, some are up pretty significantly.
Yeah. So I made the joke earlier about the Flame Tree barbecue meal, but there's a Flame Tree barbecue meal that's now $20.
$20, yeah. Full slab of ribs or the pork chicken rib combo.
In any,
I think I had that. It's delicious.
Is it worth $20? Would you pay $20 for it?
$15.95, maybe. I don't know.
You got the combo already?
No, well, I've had it in the past, not at $20.
The chicken and rib combo, yeah. Okay. Now they throw on whatever the third thing they serve there.
Chicken
ribs, and they give you a little bit of the pork.
Can I say something controversial?
Ribs are pork.
Sure.
I don't like Flame Tree Barbecue.
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, you
it's
agree?
So good.
There's so much better barbecue. That's horrible barbecue.
We did a top
Disney. It's good. Yeah. Ooh.
We did a top 10 segment a while ago. We used to let people vote, and the winning counter service restaurant was Flame Tree.
Are you serious?
And I have never disagreed with my listeners more than, but it was like a landslide. It wasn't even close. There was nothing else even close in the numbers to Flame Tree. Why do you think people like Flame Tree?
What have you had then?
I've had almost the whole menu. I don't think it's that good.
Do you like any of it?
I don't think it's bad.
It's not bad, yeah.
It's definitely good. Like, I'd put a top 15, top 20 maybe, but not.
But, like, I wouldn't go to it with other choices. Well, see, and that's, I think, the problem. Animal Kingdom doesn't have that many choices, or it didn't until now.
But I don't even think it's the best one there. Okay. I don't know.
Counter service? It might have been. It might have been.
I like the Yak and Yeti counter service. I don't know.
Until Harambe.
Harambe's good. I like Harambe Market a lot. The lines suck, but otherwise I like it. What do you think about Harambe?
It's a complete cluster cuss at lunch. I was there this past Tuesday. They opened it.
Yeah.
And they had three different menus at three different windows, kind of like Cosmic Rays or Pop Century or something. And you could order any of the items at any of the windows, but they didn't tell anybody that.
Yeah.
So one line would be longer than the other, and then they'd have to have a cast member there, and they'd be trying to direct people to the corn dog line or something. But so now they have all three menus at any window, but when I was there on Tuesday, they had one window completely closed, so they have two doing food. There were over 100 people in line. They didn't have any more menus to hand out, and then they have a drink window that does only drinks that there's one person in. So you have four windows. You only have two serving food. You only have one register per window. You only have one place to hand out food. Nobody can see the menu because it's so freaking small. You don't have any menus to hand anybody. There's nowhere to sit once you get your food because everybody's in line for so long.
Yeah. No, it's kind of, I like the food, but it's a disaster. Yeah.
The food's good. I go late.
Oh, that's the cue. I guess we're going to commercial.
That is the cue. Yeah. We're gonna go to that's the end of hour one.
If people want to ask Josh, I know Josh has a lot of fanboys and girls. Back.
We will. About to more Zootopia.
Yes.
And Flower and Garden stuff on the way. In the first part of the First Zootopia series, we heard from the producers. Now it's time to hear from the talent. Here's the voice behind Nick Wilde, none other than Jason Bateman.
The central message of Judy's sense of optimism and enthusiasm and I'm going to go to the big city and make it kind of thread is a great one for young girls to see, because she immediately runs into this pessimistic and cynical character that's saying, you know, life's not all cherries and ice cream, and she kind of proves him wrong. And so that part she really loves. The other stuff, I'm sure on future viewings, will start to kind of permeate, but until then, I'm going to, you know, let her kind of take her own time with it. It's nice with any of these Disney films that parents have this tool where they can just kind of hit pause and start referencing these friendly animals or characters that are carrying some of the heavier water for us parents, you know, and you can kind of draw the parallels there as you broach these tougher subjects. Judy starts with this notion that, you know, she's going to the big city to make it, and then she runs into this orange blob of cynicism and pessimism, and she's really kind of all inside out, you know. She's whatever you feel you can make happen, and he's basically saying, no, it's all about the outside in, you know. People are going to... People may not be cooperative if they think that you're something, if they have a bias, if they have a preconceived notion about you. And, and she just kind of rips that down for him, which is kind of nice. I think kids could really do well by not being burdened by, you know, it's certainly relevant with, you know, skin color or religion or any sort of preconceived notion that it really matters, obviously, what's on the inside. And that's a real central lane in this film.
It didn't surprise me much that Jason Bateman was really excited to become an animated character.
It was just a phone call from my agent. They said, you know, Disney would like for you to play this part in their movie. It was a really big phone call. I literally pulled my car over so I didn't lose my signal. You know, something that I really, really wanted to do. And of course, the same kind of where you know, film actors were starting to be invited to play some of these roles. That's, of course, when it started to hit my radar. And I thought, boy, I hope I get invited to do that one day. I hope my career goes along at such a pace where it's appropriate, I suppose. And, you know, I'm really good friends with Will Arnett, and he does them all the time, and he's always saying, boy, I just don't think they're ever going to call you. So my first thought was that he had put my agent up to this. You know, it's almost like, I don't know what those pictures are, where you stare at a pattern, and after a while, your eyes start to then see three dimension, mm-hmm. you know, and then you can never see it the other way. There's that kind of a process that happens when you recognize somebody's voice behind an animated character. For the first few minutes, all you can do is see that actor's face. And then after a few minutes, you can't, you only see that character, and you can't imagine them sounding any other way. And it kind of, there's a transition there. It's going to be interesting to see if my 4-year-old has that at all. You know, I wonder if she's going to be able, I wonder if she's going to hear me.
I may have sold him a very expensive wool rug that was made from the fur of a skunk. But...
how sweet cheese and crackers.
It's a little bit of a disjointed process when it comes to improvisation because you're there by yourself. And, you know, if you improvise a line that then necessitates a reaction from the other character, maybe they've already laid down their half of the scene and we can't use that. So... you're really in a vacuum, and having said all that, there was still tons of playing with the script. It was nice of them to let me do that.
It was interesting to hear Jason's thoughts on the legacy of the film.
It is. It hasn't really sunk in yet because, you know, maybe I'm being not very realistic about the track record that Disney has. I mean, I always want to err on the side of humility and caution. I don't want to take anything for granted because I've lived the other side of that quite a bit. But, you know, from everything I've seen, from seeing the film a couple times now, and everything I'm reading from, you know, smart folks like you guys and the people who we've been in, it is 100% a classic. You know, mm-hmm. these guys did such an incredible job with the story, with the themes, with the humor, with the artistry, the animation. I mean, it's... chances are high that character walking around Disneyland or Disney World is not just going to be for the theatrical release cycle. It's I don't know if they're going to build a ride, but there's certainly
you'll be in a parade.
There's certainly elements that have some longevity to them, and for that I'm really, really proud.
Coming up, we will hear from the directors of the film as well as the voice behind Judy Hopps.
Welcome to the second hour of WDW News Tonight. Hope you're enjoying the Zootopia audio. I was lucky enough to get invited to the press junket. First time I've done one of those for a movie. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's you or someone next to you typing really hard next to your recorder.
Next to me.
Yeah. Nice.
I mean...
It sounded like old school flash bulbs going off. Did someone have like a 1930s...
No, their shutter was real loud. Yeah. I mean, because in that situation, it's not... No one's recording for audio. We are because we do a lot of podcasting. But really, you're just there to get sound bites and clips and things, you know, that you'll use for an article.
Yeah.
So, like you see, we put up the piece about how Jennifer Goodwin really wants there to be Zootopia in the parks. That's the kind of stuff you're supposed to do. But we had the audio, so I figured, hey, Nick, why don't you do something with it?
And we'll hear from her.
She's wonderful. She's so charming.
She did a great job. I wish she wasn't like on Skype.
I know.
It was funny because there was actually a lot of the interview I had to cut out, so I used what I could. I don't know if someone had a phone next to the connection. You know, if you have a phone next to a speaker,
so they had her on video via Skype, but then they also had like the conference call thing. You know that thing you put on the middle of the table.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
And I think someone's phone was a little too close to it, and it was like...
Well, also, so everyone had passed their recording devices up, so there was just like a pile of recording devices next to the...
Electronics next to electronics and wireless devices.
It wasn't a room full of audio engineers. Yeah, safely say that. Next week, here on the show, The Price is Right, coming back.
Yeah,
I got that.
I'm gonna go find some prices.
Yeah.
This week, I don't know exactly what. Maybe I don't know if there'll be a theme. We'll see.
How about counter service? Since we're talking about food prices with Josh.
That's true.
Would that be fun? Is that okay? Can you do that?
We can do that.
All right, there you go.
I'll just look at Josh's photos. I don't have to go anywhere.
I don't know what else you guys are gonna do next week, but I'm not here.
I don't know either. We'll figure it out.
Tom and Jason will be in Disneyland, so yeah,
that'll be fun.
Disneyland.
You gonna call us on Wednesday night?
I can call in. Yeah, I don't. I won't actually. Will I be on a plane? I might be on a plane during the show.
Oh yeah, you're
flying
that
one. Show is 9 to 11, so that's. I land 9 o'clock there.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be
6. No.
No, you have it backwards, genius.
12.
You know, I don't.
Yeah. No, I'll be on a plane during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't get time either.
Good.
So, next week the show will happen. I'll have some co-hosts for you.
Good.
And we'll see if someone else can fill my monologue shoes.
You know, it's March. I hate to put you on the spot.
March
here.
Madness, I'm well aware.
We're doing it?
When I come back.
Are we prepared to announce the theme?
I don't even remember what we talked about. What is the theme? What did I tell you the theme was going to be?
I don't remember, but you were really excited about it. It wasn't restaurants, was it?
It might be. Was it food items?
I don't know. Oh, was it food items? I think it might have been food items.
Is it a food item tournament?
We were so excited.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. We'll figure it out. But we're going to start. We'll do voting. I don't know. I have a calendar. Who has a calendar?
Yeah, we'll do it in a couple of weeks. We got time.
Yeah, so not next week. The week after we'll do voting, and then the week after that we'll do the whole tournament on the air.
That's always super fun.
Yeah. Yeah, last year was pretty crazy. We did the whole thing where people could sway and win prizes. Yeah, so maybe we'll do that again. I don't know. We'll figure that out.
Jason helped us out a lot with that.
Yeah, he did. We'll figure it out.
Oh, yeah, there was like, because you could call in, you had a pool of things that earned you points. You got random stuff sent to you. We have to do all that again. Yeah, all right, we'll get to that. You can give me, I'll get on that next week.
Okay.
Instead of doing the show.
So, yeah, next week. But can you, how about the wonderful sponsors that help make
this? Yeah, of course, WW News Tonight brought to you by Magical Travel. Magical Travel is an authorized Disney vacation planner and is always ready to assist you in making your next trip to the Walt Disney World Resort, Disneyland Resort, or even aboard the Disney Cruise Line even more magical. Right now, save up 25% in rooms at select Walt Disney World Resort hotels for stays most of the night, April 14th through June 11th, 2016. When you book by March 31st, 2016, you can also ask about other great rates for stays most nights, February 22nd, which is passed through April 13th, 2016.
Still through April.
It is. It's through April. And you got to book by March 31st, so it's right there. All I'm saying is the start of the date's passed. It's still a great deal. That's all I'm saying. I'm just noticing that. For more information on this special offer and many more, visit magicaltravel.com. That's magicaltravel.com. And book your next Disney trip today.
Running behind, Nick. We're running behind.
That's why we're going to get right to Josh.
Yes. Josh, come on back. Come back.
Get in there.
All right.
So we were talking about counter service price increases. Obviously, that $220 entree. At a Flame Tree are pretty ridiculous. What else is going on? I know you told me all about all kinds of drink prices that have gone up exponentially.
Yeah, they raised some prices. Kingfisher beer was $6.75 to $9. That's a pretty serious increase. The burger at Liberty Inn at Epcot, $14.49 from $11.
Wow.
But not everything is up, and just because there are expensive items on the menu doesn't necessarily mean you have to order them. Just because there's a $20 combo platter doesn't mean you can't still buy the $10.49.
So is there still value on the menus?
I don't know. I would go that far.
Well, I mean,
is there still value?
It was
no.
Set myself up for that one. But I mean, in relation to theme parks, I mean, is there a meal where you feel like the price is good and you get a decent amount of food and it's a good meal? Like, or do those still exist, or is it I pay $20, but at least it's good?
Sure, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, at Flame Tree, the pork sandwich there only went up 30 cents. So if it was a good value a month ago, it's still a good value.
All right.
But other ones, like the half chicken, went from 11 to 14. So there's seemingly little rhyme or reason. But at the same time, the price of beef has gone up steadily the last few years, doubled in price, but hamburgers haven't doubled in price. So in some ways, they might just be catching up.
Now, when you see a $3 price increase, and that's the when you talked about the Liberty Inn burger, and that's like with fries. That's, I'm sure, a combo, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah, burger and fries.
Yeah, does that mean that price necessarily goes up at other restaurants? Same meal at other restaurants?
It depends on the toppings. A lot of the time at Liberty Inn, there's like a big rundown of what it is. It's like a 7-ounce patty on brioche, and they put the lettuce and tomato on top of the bun with a toothpick. Like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it depends on the toppings. Even then, like, they serve the exact same chicken and ribs at Flame Tree, where it's still $16.49, but at Fairfax Fair, it's $17.19. So it's not.
You're paying to sit outside in the element.
Yeah, to camp out for 8 hours for Rivers of Light.
Yeah. There you go.
So, you know, obviously prices go up incrementally every so often, but this is a larger jump that you've just been noticing across the board at places?
It depends on the item. Some of them are higher than others. It just depends.
How often do they change the prices at the restaurant?
Well, they had been doing it the last week of August for the last
still like once a year,
5 years. Yeah, but they make more changes now that almost all the menus are digital. They can change the items overnight.
Yeah.
But then on the items that they had been switching out, they seem to do less and less of that. And it's not all upper-tier expensive stuff either, like Columbia Harbor House had a seafood mac and cheese, which was $14-15. I thought it was terrible, and they took that off the menu. So it's not like they're just tacking on $20 entrees and removing everything else. And if you're on the dining plan, you can make a killing there.
Yeah.
Because you can get a meal that's $33, a quick service meal that's $33.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. For people on the dining plan, those numbers don't mean a thing.
Right.
You know, they've got it, whatever it is, on that menu.
And the dining plan only went up. It went up today too. I think about $1.50,
3%
a night. So,
no.
Now I may be behind. I often am. I heard something about a foot-long hot dog at Casey's. Did you hear that?
Min and Bill's has a
Min and Bill's
a serious hot dog. Yeah.
Is it foot-long?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Is it like $18 or something like that? I heard it was it's going to be a ridiculous price too.
No, it's I think $11.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I don't like Disney's hot dogs to begin with. I don't need more of it. I don't know.
No.
That taco hot dog at the lunching pad still haunts me to this
day. That was real bad.
I don't know, I've kind of stopped. Like I said, one of my favorite meals like ever was like the corn dog nuggets, fries, and chili at Casey's. And then they got rid of the cheese sauce, so I just put cheese sauce in everything. And cheese sauce makes everything better. Now without the cheese sauce, I don't know, I've never haven't gone back.
Well, it's interesting that on one hand they're removing that stuff, but Restaurantosaurus has a toppings bar that's like 20 things now. Blue cheese and guacamole
it has a graph.
Yeah, a chart.
A chart.
That's
and
great.
It's like it's correct. Like it shows.
It's correct. I'm always surprised when make a chart and it's correct.
But I mean, like it has like the lettuce is long. And, like, the olives are... It's perfectly set up.
It's to scale.
Yeah. You're saying they did a nice job with
like
that.
Doc Brown made it.
Disney doesn't have rides, but they've got details.
Like they put way too much work into it, is what you're saying.
Potentially. I mean, if you can't identify what pickles or tomatoes are, then in one language, they'll tell you.
Okay.
Nice.
As if anybody speaks English there.
Anyway, so because we're getting further into the show, I want to talk about Flower and Garden since it just started this week at Epcot. We all went some multiple times. Sometimes Josh would yell at me that he was running out of sunlight and I had to run to meet him to eat bad Italian food. But anyway, so I want to talk about the menus. I want to talk about what's new, what we liked, what we didn't like. We'll go through as quickly as possible. And hopefully for those of you visiting the festival sometime in the next 3 months it exists, this will be of some help. So we're going to start. Urban Farm Eats has a watermelon salad, a vegetable and white bean, the non-witch, which I know is a favorite of Josh's.
Well, they have one at Electric Umbrella, and it's nine. You want to talk about money? It's $9.50. Yeah. It's just a couple edamame beans and some lettuce for $10. The vegetarian flatbread at Electric Umbrella is very good, though. Which is why people ask me, like, what quick service, Josh, should we go to? And anybody will tell you Electric Umbrella is terrible, but they have a couple things that are really good.
That hamburger is pretty decent.
If you get there early.
Why? What happens to it later?
Yeah, what happens?
Go about 7 o'clock sometime, find out.
All right. You have yourself a deal.
No.
It's the hard sell.
There's going to be another Lombards, isn't it? Anyway.
Do not say that word
to me. So, there's that, and then there's a seared pork tenderloin. What do you like at Urban Farm?
The watermelon salad is really good. Yeah. The pork was okay, but the portion size has gotten so small, I don't mind paying $6 for something, but that pork was maybe 4 bites. Yeah. I mean, when we were there together, it was to the point where we had trouble sharing things because there weren't 3 bites there to
eat.
Not
as bad as Mexico.
Yeah.
Like that grouper. Yeah. There, we couldn't have all tried that.
No.
That's,
I barely tried it, and I had the whole thing.
It's $5.75.
Yeah. We'll get to that. What about the beverages here? You've had any of these?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the beer's pretty good. The Urban Mary, I would skip.
Yeah.
The wine they've had in Canada in the wave for a while. It was novel for a while. It comes out of a keg, which is kind of cool. And that sparkling wine is probably like $12.
Yeah.
That stuff's really... You want to talk about price increases. Like the key lime wine is $11.50 now for 3.5 ounces. Don't get me started on Bezo del Sol Sangria. 3-liter box, $19. How much does Mexico want for 3 ounces? $11.25. It comes out of a box.
That's not Mexico's worst offense.
They don't refrigerate it. It's just a...
Yeah. I didn't even realize they stamped this book. They pre-stamped it.
Yeah, can we talk about adults who go around with their booklet and get stamps, even though they're not ordering anything from the booth? Why are you collecting stamps?
Josh is angry about things.
Apparently. I could tell. That tone.
Well, they're working. Like, the cast members are working there trying to serve food and take money. And you got Grandma with her 8 booklets that wants a stamp. There's no button at the end. It's not the Easter egg hunt.
It's not the lion.
Next booth.
Lion roar. Or the lion.
Next,
the
lion.
Next booth.
My show. How dare you? I'll say when we're ready to move on. We're ready to move on.
Lore right. Club.
Pineapple Promenade. So the spicy, this is the one that has the ridiculous $7 spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney, which we split the other night romantically.
I was going to say romantically.
Yeah.
Is it worth the $7?
No. It's not worth $7. I don't think it's bad, though. It's pretty good. I like it. You didn't like it.
I thought it was fine. It was.
Okay.
It ended up being spicier at the end than I thought.
It had a good kick. Really good kick.
Really
did I have
lingered.
It with you last year?
Maybe.
I thought we did. Yeah.
We might have.
But it's the only item at a booth that isn't a snack credit, so I don't know why they aren't just cutting them in half and charging $3.50 like they do everywhere else.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's this booth is kind of a ripoff at the end because there's the pineapple soft serve, which is Dole Whip, but that alcoholic pineapple soft serve is, what is it,
$10? $10.
It's not even nearly as big as a regular Dole Whip.
Yeah.
So for what is it, $3.50 or $4.50 for the regular, the non-alcoholic?
I don't know. It's a good question.
It's somewhere in that zone, so it's real cheap, but it's a real, real small portion. How much is the Dole Whip, imagine?
$4.19.
Yeah, so for less than a dollar, you get a considerably bigger Dole Whip at the Magic Kingdom. But meanwhile, here, for a little bit of alcohol, it's $10.
They might give you a half ounce of Parrot Bay.
Oh, wow.
The cup is...
Yeah, it's real small. So, yeah. And what do you think of the alcohol here? Do you do alcohol here? I guess. Next, turn the page.
Did he do alcohol? Yeah. What do they have?
I don't know. You should know these things. You're the expert. Sparkling.
Pineapple wine is garbage.
The ocean tropical pineapple hard cider
is pretty good. That actually, the desert lemonade is one of the best non-alcoholic ones. If you do happen to get through security with your.
Yeah, we had that last year. That was really.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's right. New for this year, La Isla Fresca is there on the World Showcase Promenade. This is the booth where the infamous grouper incident happened, as I call it. So there is a jerk spiced grouper or chicken. You have the option. There's also a Jamaican braised beef, and there is the tres leches as well. I had the grouper. It was by far the smallest portion of any food I've ever had in a theme park in my entire life.
Really? That's disappointing.
Real small. Like, probably the size of it. Remember the iPod shuffles? Remember those?
Oh, my God.
Probably about that big, if not smaller.
About half that.
Yeah, maybe.
Is there any garnish with it?
It was bad. Like, I wish we were joking. That's actually how small it was. So we fought for a while at the front. Like, who's getting the chicken? Who's getting the grouper? You end up getting the chicken, which the chicken was a nice size.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing. It's not my first rodeo.
Thanks.
I gave him, like, eight chances to get the chicken.
That's true.
I kept asking you what you wanted. Like, I'm
going
to get the green
second
bird.
Guessing, yeah.
Let me get the fish.
I did get the fish.
You got the fish.
I'd go fish, too.
You've been complaining about that fish for every day for a week now. I'm going to complain about it every day for the rest of the week.
Because what's the good fish at the Food and Wine? There's a really good...
No. It's at Flower and Garden, and it's gone.
It's gone?
Yeah. It's the Ghost Pepper Tilapia.
Ghost Pepper Tilapia.
Which is now gone.
Oh, wow.
Which was my favorite thing.
That was
thing.
The best thing at the festival.
This outrage over this tilapia.
And that was a nice size. Is grouper more expensive than tilapia? I don't know.
It really is.
What's the market price? You looked it up, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, chickens maybe $3 a pound. The grouper is 13, so they charge the same price. It would make sense that you'd only get a quarter.
Mm.
But if you can only give people 2 bites of food... For $5.75, maybe you
two
should...
Two bites is being really, really generous, by the way.
Tilapia, you know, it's a bottom feeder, but if you're going to give me 6 bites of it...
Yeah.
Switch it
rather.
Out.
Rather.
Switch it out.
The beef was pretty good. The braised beef.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
I get that again.
And the tres leches, which is a cake, essentially, was really good, too. I like that a lot, actually. I would get that again.
Yeah, they had one at the Botanico last year,
which I still think is a character from the ET adventure at Universal. But
the desserts, I think, overall were better than the other stuff. So I think maybe if you're looking to save some money on quick service, get a quick service entree somewhere else and have a couple desserts to share around the festival. Yeah. You can have a good time that way.
They have bottled Red Stripe here. I know you're
Red Stripe in a bottle for $8. Yeah. They don't even brew it in Jamaica. It's brewed in Pennsylvania.
Hooray beer. There's also the frozen Simply Tropical juice drink with Cruzan. What is that? Cruzan? Is that right?
Crucian.
I'm sorry. I'm not the expert here. Mango rum. Did you get that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is that good?
It was pretty good. Simply Tropical is just... I didn't recognize the name, but once you see the bottle, it's the bottle in every store.
Yeah.
So that's Simply Orange juice. Does this help?
I don't know.
I feel like this helps.
Simply Orange. I think everybody knows what Simply Orange is.
Yeah. So it's just that frozen, and I think it's like $4.25, and you get a small cup.
Yeah.
A really small cup, but it was pretty good. And Crucian is a low alcohol percentage, so it's not going to pack much of a punch. I'd probably just get the non-alcoholic.
Yeah. On to this was going to be a fun one. Jardín de Fiestas, which is the Mexico booth. This is the one that has the tacos, the corn tortilla quesadilla, and the flan. So what was the total on the three items? Was what, like $30?
We with the margarita $24.75.
$24.75 for three items and the margarita.
And there were not 12 bites to split up.
No, so inside the what was the one with the shrimp? The tacos had the shrimp.
Yeah, the taco was good.
Yeah, it was good, but it was literally three like baby shrimp.
Yeah.
In there, and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
And then some homeless guy tried to take our tortilla, but that's a story for another day. And my water bottle, but anyway.
And the rest of my margarita, as if that was going to happen. Bro, have you met me?
But yeah, everything
here
was...
The leftover margarita? Yeah, how's that? We'll see how that goes for you.
Everything here was just... The portions were terribly small.
Yeah.
Like super overpriced.
We've been doing this together for 3 years. I hope it'll be 4th year next year. And I've had every item at the festival.
Well, see, as long as I don't give you a ring, they tend to stay around. We'll see what happens. Ooh, the tough room. Thank you. Anyway. Yeah. And then what about the drinks there? What do you?
The margarita, actually, it wasn't terrible. Yeah. I rag on La Cava, but it's still your best bet.
Mm.
If you ask for a margarita without the tequila that they list, they'll make it for you fresh. So that was my tip of the day, La Cava.
Yeah.
The beer is like a Tecate. That's 3.7%. It's a waste of time.
What'd you think of Mexico?
Did I eat at Mexico?
You were there.
Hmm.
Remember the homeless? The quesadilla.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know.
The quesadilla.
I didn't really care for that.
It was all very bland.
It was very bland.
The flan. I really like the flan, actually.
Yeah, that was good.
It's hard for me, like Mexico, Italy, things like that. It's really hard to judge that because I would never buy the food at those kiosks because I get Mexican food. I get Italian food, you know, so I don't really buy it from these places. But so it's hard to judge.
Yeah. That's that.
Sometimes you'll have it. It's inedible, but not in this case.
Yeah. Lotus House is China. They have the gaoli.
I would say gaoli.
Gaoli beef bun.
Lisa's constantly telling me I'm mispronouncing things. Like I said, myriad for myriad. On this show.
Yeah, there's 32 people out there in the chat still. 56 people watching us live right now.
Nice.
They just said it and left it. And I think
they went to bed.
That.
We put them to sleep. They're listening to us right now in bed.
When we get halfway around the showcase, we should play part 3 of Zootopia.
Yeah. And you really want to get through those, don't you?
I spend time on them. We're getting through.
We don't have that many left. We should probably just fire through at this point.
What else we got?
Let's keep going. Lotus
House.
So I think
we're getting to ones I tried.
We're on Lotus House, yeah. So there's also the Beijing. You didn't try this one, but the Beijing style candied strawberries. Which
love
is
those.
One year I got stabbed over those. And then there was the vegetable spring roll with orange sauce. I got the beef bun. You said it was pretty decent, so I tried it the other night. I liked it. It was good.
It's not bad, but it's still $5.75.
Yeah.
With 4 bites.
Yeah.
Like if you add those 3 items up, they cost $17. You could have the lunch set at Nine Dragons, a sit-down to a meal, and get soup and a huge entree, way more food than you can eat, for 19. So why spend 17?
Fun at the festival. What about the drinks here? Didn't you get the bubble tea and they like yelled at you about it?
I got the Dragon Pearl. It's really interesting. It's beer, honey, cream, tapioca pearls.
You tried that after I left. All right, was that good?
It's really strange, especially the first sip, because who's mixing beer with cream and honey? That's not a thing.
I'm excited to try it, though. I mean, is it worth giving it a shot? Is it worth experimenting, trying it?
Absolutely, yeah, and they've theoretically put the boba bubbles in it. You can kind of slurp up along with it, so it's kind of fun.
I hate the bubbles. Do you like them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they put them in there because people like them.
Yeah, like the fishy green ale at Universal I dumped the first time. I didn't like it.
You didn't like the Skipper Canteen thing either.
No, I didn't. You really like it?
Everybody does. Everybody does.
Something wrong with me, apparently. All right.
Said it.
Next was the Bauernmarkt, or the farmer's market in Germany. They had the chicken fricassee, the currywurst with paprika chips, and the Armer Ritter, which is an egg-battered toast with the cherry compote and powdered sugar. I got the chicken fricassee. I thought it was all right.
It was all
kind of a weird look to it. Not particularly appetizing in look, but...
But it was tasty. And the other thing, the currywurst... Like that, too
you
much.
You were having an interesting situation with this.
Well, I just think it had way too much ketchup. Like,
it was doused.
It was. Less of that, and I think we would have been good. And I would have liked a little bit of bite to it, a little more. You said there was. I guess there was. It needed a little bit more, and that would have been good because the chips were excellent.
Josh, someone in the chat quoted your tweet the other day. Josh tweeted about this. I know it's day one of the Flower and Garden Festival because I spent $140 and arrived home sober and hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. I thought the currywurst was a really good portion. If you go to my website, easywdw.com, I take pictures of all this stuff and have a review of everything.
Currywurst was a lot of food.
It was a lot of food. Because they used to have it at Summerfest. They made Disney Parks blog made a huge deal out of adding all these entrees to Summerfest. I guess not realizing it's a hole in the wall with two cash registers and the entire place is smaller than the room we're sitting in, so they got rid of all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the French toast was just bland. It wasn't
just
eggy.
French
it wasn't
toast.
Good. But
really
it wasn't
pretty,
even bad French. It wasn't even good French. It was horrible.
Really good looking.
It was really photogenic.
Yeah. Probably the best picture.
To give you an idea, there was originally, when we did the opening, I do those short little jokes. Originally, your opening wasn't, hope no one from Touring Plans is listening. I think originally I had written in, so get ready to talk about camera lenses for an hour. But
well, now you've got me going. Start me up, Tom.
Jeez. Moving on. What about drinks here? You've done drinks here?
Yeah, you had the Schwartz beer there, which they couldn't figure out what it was.
Oh, that's right. You had to tell the guy like which one it was.
Buddy, you've got four beers and the names are on them. The one that says Schwartz beer is the Schwartz beer. I'm not an expert. I'm guessing here.
May the Schwartz beer
be with
you.
I was just going to say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can't pronounce things. You guys making fun of me?
No, it's from Spaceballs.
I don't watch movies.
unless you've never seen them before.
Well, I don't like to pay attention to movies. Like, I like movies, but I don't want to pay attention. And then when I'm not paying attention, I miss things, don't know what's going on. But then if I don't pay attention the first time, I haven't seen it, so I can't rewatch it.
Fair.
It's terrible. It's a terrible predicament to be in.
Now for the one that Josh yelled at me that I had to go to before the light went away and he couldn't take pretty pictures.
I stood in front of Primavera Kitchen for 4 hours. You had to hustle from China to Italy.
You didn't stand there for 4 hours. Get out of here.
Was it five?
How long were you really?
Because you're at the hair cuttery.
I was. Haircut, I did take a while.
Which I didn't compliment you on. That was rude of me. I meant to compliment you.
I know. It's so stylish.
You left to go get your hair cut?
I didn't leave. No, this was. I went back. What was it? Sunday?
Sunday.
Oh.
I went back Sunday to meet him and do a couple more booths.
You wanted to look nice.
Yeah. No, I put it off all week. Yeah. Anyway. They have chicken parmesan, Mezzaluna Primavera, which is an egg pasta stuffed with ricotta and spinach. And there was also this weird pistachio cream dessert. I'm actually surprised that Mezzaluna Primavera was actually really good. Like, I really like that.
They've done a nice job with those the last couple festivals. They have a ravioli.
Yeah.
And if you're a vegetarian, I said that was the best vegetarian dish there. Like, they have, I ran the
numbers.
And
if you're a vegetarian, they put that V thing. If I can get it on, I'm going to try and get it on camera. I can't see. There should be a V on the menu. I don't know if you can see that, but yeah. There's the green V next to the menu item. But yeah, we also commented that, like, the first year they did Flower and Garden, it was almost all vegetarian, and then suddenly now they've mixed in a lot more non-vegetarian dishes.
Well, especially because the vegetarian dishes are almost all desserts, too.
Yeah.
So, and they have a couple salads, though. A couple really good salads.
But that, I really like the dessert too. So it was a pistachio cream with strawberries and a mascarpone cream.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. What do you think about the drinks here?
I would do not get a wine.
Yeah,
the Primavera Kitchen. The Italian margarita is a huge portion. All the other frozen drinks are going to be maybe 3 or 4 ounces, but that one's 16.
Yeah.
So if you want something that's going to last, get it. There's no vodka in it, and it's $11, but that's true about all the other drinks, too. So.
Yeah. on to my favorite, the Smokehouse Barbecue and Brews. It has the pulled pig slider. There's the pork ribs, the beef brisket burnt ends hash, and the warm chocolate cake. I'm going to start with the cake because this was my favorite thing at the festival this year.
Wow.
It's a warm chocolate cake with a bourbon salted caramel sauce and spiced pecans. And I really, really like this.
It's really, really good.
Like the cake is not, I mean, warm chocolate cake is great. And it's not anything different, but that sauce really makes it.
The sauce is amazing. Me, just personal preference, I thought it was a little too sweet because of the spiced pecans. I would have just liked regular pecans. Not all candied.
You're shaking your head with the Duffy hat is the greatest.
The sauce was amazing. The cake was good.
Did you not like it?
Cake was good.
Oh, okay.
Thumbs up. That and the hash?
Well, the hash, so we try to just order new things when we do the fact, because obviously otherwise we spend a tremendous amount of money and we're trying to review things we haven't had before. The hash returned this year. And that was one of the few exceptions we made, was we decided, I'd kind of decided I'm getting the hash again, because it's, I think it's the best non-dessert dish at the festival, honestly.
Oh, it's amazing. Now that the tilapia's not there, it takes the number one spot. It's cooked perfectly. It's just a great mixture of tastes. It's something I wouldn't make at home, so it's definitely something I'd just get here, and It'd be great, but probably too much of a heart attack to get in a bigger portion, so it's probably just right.
Yeah. We did try the new dish, was the ribs, which were really bland and just nothing special.
Yeah. $6.50, two ribs, so that the corn wasn't anything special.
Yeah, I mean, they were cooked all right, but they just didn't have much flavor to them, and it wasn't a good cut of pork. Now, that could change as the festival goes.
We'll see.
That's not going to.
I, you know, you guys are right in front of me, but I like watching the TV screen much better, because
it's quite a scene, like me next to him with the Duffy.
Josh just looks into the camera all the time.
Well, I did a video, and I just nodded the whole time. Like, and I catch myself doing that now. I agree with you.
Duffy
I
just
need a
shakes.
Sign. I should get a sign. Hold up.
You need the fueler. Why is the fueler not in this shot?
Yeah. R.I.P. Sorry, Mr. Bergen.
Eric Bergen somewhere. We're pouring one out for Derek right now. Pouring one out of the fueler.
How great is that? They serve beer out of this thing with the top on. You just sit there like I'm doing now.
I do have one of those, and I love it.
Oh, that's a surprise, Tom. I bet nobody saw that coming. Tom has a souvenir cup, everybody.
What do you got today?
What? I thought we went over this
already. I missed it.
It's the new snake glass.
That is the worst.
Get out of
here.
I was the first person ever to own this glass.
Worst souvenir glass ever.
Why is it bad?
Because it's just boring.
But it comes with the snake. You gotta remember, I don't have the snake in it. Like it's the full presentation. Like, it's got the logo. The logo's real pretty. And then I like the measuring thing, and it's got the little lip for the pouring. Like, it's cool. It's not the mojito. The mojito glass is amazing. I understand.
Nobody watching this video right now is like, man, that is a great glass.
Nope.
I bet they put a lot of time into that.
Out there in the chat.
I can really see why that took nine months to arrive.
Let's get a poll going in the chat.
Out there in the chat, do you like the snake glass? This is the Reggie's Revenge glass. Look, it's got the logo. It's got
How much was that?
It's not irrelevant.
It isn't relevant, no. It's not that it's even just a bad glass compared to other souvenir glasses. It's probably one of the worst, like, ever, because it's just boring and...
No, the worst is the rocket cup at Cosmic Rays.
I kind of like that.
I like that. That's cute.
cooler than this? It's glass.
Yes.
This is a glass. Look, it's got the lip.
Rocket Cup at Cosmic Rays is cooler than that.
All right, here we go. I have some results from the
By the way, Beer Flight at Smokehouse?
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
You like the
maple stout.
The maple stout.
Yeah.
Amazing, yeah. Someone said, nope, no.
No.
Such glass, much souvenir. Boring, nope. Looks cheap. Dance clubby. Nope, kind of bland. It's a fine... Thank you, Jedi Mark. It's a fine glass, Tom. Thank you. Looks so Kiev, like from a lab.
Dance clubby? Was that referring to the glass?
Someone said clubby, yeah.
Or Josh.
Looks like a modified Carsland float cup. Looks like it's from a lab, yeah. Congrats on the tall measuring cup.
Like, this is not 2 ounces. Look at this thing.
It's not even the scale.
2 ounces? This is 2 ounces? Like, it's not even helpful. Like, this is
why Tom Corliss is the evil man he is in this community.
This is 2 ounces, guys, but this... That's one.
Because it goes wider. That's actual measurement.
How many more booths do we have?
Hold on. Here, I'll empty this.
But how are we...
How are we going to test that?
What's our second?
You have a full one?
Even if you have a full one, what are
we... Well, you can forward it and see if it goes up to 16 or 8 or whatever these are.
Here, let's see. This is a 20. All right, here we go.
I'm not saying it's not a 16
ounce. What is your argument, then?
That bottom is not 2 ounces. That thing's like 8 so inches
once
long.
Once it gets past there, it corrects itself.
Because it gets slightly, like, I don't have the best depth perception, but...
Because that, you might be right. Now I'm
I
curious.
Might be right. Oh.
No, I want to know.
Imagine that, guys. Glass sucks.
Well, is there part of the glass?
Sucks. I'm embarrassed for you.
Just you know.
Guys, got how many glasses do you have? 700 glasses? You
we're
come
never
with that
getting
thing?
To those other two Zootopia.
Yes, we are.
I hope you know.
The last one will play right after the show. It'll be a bonus.
A bonus?
Yeah.
You can play
I destroyed
play your
the script.
Zootopia next week.
There is no script.
Only
Zool.
Who are you angry at? You destroyed the script.
That was before I spilled the drink on it.
All right, let's see. Do we have, how many more of these houses do we have left?
How many houses? What are the houses?
Little things.
We're almost there. All right,
so I was thinking Smokehouse.
We went through Smokehouse, yeah.
Morocco?
Hanami, Japan.
Japan.
Frushi.
Oh.
Chicken edamame bun. Beef teriyaki udon. What do you like?
I love those noodles, I think, right? I remember liking that a lot.
They were good.
The slime beef.
All right.
Oh, yeah. That was really good,
too. You didn't get any of the beef.
The bunny beef. It was really
so
good.
So we evenly cut... This chicken edamame bun. No, it was even. But somehow, like, and I had the first edge, and there was beef in there, and Nick had the middle. Somehow, in the evenly, it was evenly cut. And that Josh got, there was no beef. It was literally just the bun.
I squeezed some of my beef out for him.
Was it... How many ounces would you say of beef?
Went right up there, yeah.
Was it 2 ounces or 3 ounces?
Oh, it's definitely more than two.
Slight increase.
The noodles are good at China for Food and Wine, though. The shrimp noodles. Don't get the soggy slush. The beer's not bad for the money this year. Never thought I'd say that. Get the Sapporo. Because that's how far we've...
Okay. Taste of Marrakesh in Morocco has the harissa chicken kebab, the falafel pocket, and the baklava. Nothing new here, but these have been here a while.
Nothing new. If you're in the market for a dessert, the baklava is pretty good. But Tangerine Cafe will serve you baklava.
I don't think the kebab's bad either. It's a real small portion, though.
Real small portion.
Yeah, what about the falafel pocket?
It's the same thing as Tangerine Cafe, and you get maybe a sixth of the... For the same amount.
So you're better off just going in.
I go for the wrap at the Tangerine Cafe.
What about drinks? You like the Desert Rose.
Don't ask me about the cost of beer.
Don't you like the Desert Rose here?
Yeah, the Desert Rose, if you're looking for a sparkling drink, they use better sparkling wine than France, and it's $3 less.
Yeah.
And it's right next to France.
Florida Fresh between Morocco and France has the kale salad. There's the shrimp and stone ground grits, which is another great plate that's back. I don't want to sound like there's nothing good this year. Some of the returning plates are real good. The hash and the grits are really spectacular. There's also a Florida larder board, which was not great. I didn't like that at all. What do you think of the kale salad? I'm not a big fan of that either, but
it's okay.
Yeah, but the grit, you agree, the shrimp and grits is it's a good portion.
The shrimp are way bigger than what they give you at Mexico. Yeah. The grits are good.
Every year, the shrimp and grits are one of my favorites. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about drinks here? What do you drink here?
We got that gin, the gin drink.
Yeah.
My eyes aren't good anymore. Watermelon cucumber slush was pretty good. It wasn't a $10 drink, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
The festival beer, you're not going to get it anywhere else, so that makes it kind of unique.
Yeah.
A Sea Dog, if you like a fruity kind of beer, it's not my cup of tea. But.
All right, we got two more left. The Fleur de Lys, or France, has the, what is it, onion tart? There is the duck, the pulled duck. And as well, there is the macaroon. I didn't really... The duck was all right. It wasn't anything crazy.
The beans on the bottom, they should have done something.
It was a weird mix.
Like, if the thing... The beans underneath... Well, if those were better, that would have been a slam dunk.
Yeah, because the duck was good.
They did a nice job with the duck last year.
Yeah.
The onion thing is super oniony.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good for a vegetarian dish.
And the macaroon is highly beloved at this point. And I know you didn't get it this year, but I remember the Ice Pop Grand Marnier was a big hit with us last year. Remember that? So, yeah. What do you think of the other drinks there, Brant?
The wine is pretty expensive. Yeah. The slush, kind of like the... I mean, if you don't want a strong drink... If you want a fruity drink that's going to last a while, it's not a bad choice. It's a little tartar than some of the other ones, which is okay.
All right, one last one. The Cider House, which we made a lot of fun of the other night, has the land-harvested field greens, which were kind of gross. They're definitely unappetizing to look at. There was the pear cider brind shredded corned beef, which I was not a fan of either. You didn't like that, right?
I thought the beef was really good, but I thought it was kind of on like a sauerkraut kind of thing, and it was kind of creamy. I didn't like the flavor profile, but the value wasn't bad. You get a lot of food.
Yeah,
that field greens was disgusting.
Someone said the onion tar is the best thing at the festival. Oh, it's Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
I'm not sure I'd go that far, but it's good. I'm not gonna slap you or anything. I saw somebody on Twitter say that quesadilla in Mexico was the best thing at the festival.
Might slap me for owning this glass.
I would put that away at this point.
I loved Derek Bergen's watching. Luigi's Flying Tires in this glass were the greatest thing ever.
If Derek Bergen, what else is Derek?
What else does he have to do? Now? He's probably writing a Saturday Six or a post about outlets.
Right trying now. To get snakes out of his house.
Oh, we can't do a show.
No.
Okay, the lemon
Wouldn't
scone.
Disagree.
Josh decided he's going to start talking to strangers on Sunday, and then we couldn't shake these people. But the one thing we got out of them was the lemon scone is spectacular. So we go to get the lemon scone. I attempt to pay for the lemon scone while Josh is taking pictures. And the guy, like, I give him cash. He's like, oh, I can't take cash. Hold on. So for some reason, he can't take cash. I have to sign a thing that he refunded me. And then the next lady's supposed to take my order at that point. She doesn't. And so he looks over. He's like, she didn't take your order, did she? I was like, no. He's like, no, come with me. So he ends up just handing me. I got a free scone.
Nice. Score.
And even then, it still wasn't good.
Still was kind of a letdown, even though it was free. It was all right.
That thing was denser than a brick. It wasn't really.
If there's a Saturday Six about disappointing free things, this scone would be number one. just for the record. But what about drink? Did you drink anything here at any
point? You remember that Cider Flight? You really liked the Cigar
City? Oh, those
were
terrible. So I very quickly did like four quick shots of this Cider Flight. Ugh. They were gross. Did you like them?
The ciders they're okay. Yeah. I'm not really a cider guy normally because they have to put the calories on the outside of the bottle.
Right. Yeah.
But the Cigar City Lager and the Snake Bite is pretty good, too. know, they don't serve those in the regular UK anymore. You can't trust British people with cider beer, I guess.
So for the festival overall, I just want to say quickly, I think the topiaries are kind of a letdown this year. I didn't like the display in the front. Otherwise, the only other new thing is Ranger Mickey. It's just kind of...
It's pretty bland. Did you enjoy the
Butterfly Garden's real bad.
The musical playground?
Musical playground is cute. I think they had fun with that. Yeah. But otherwise, like, this isn't a good year.
Well, if you like the topiaries last year, you're going to like them this year because they're the exact same.
But, like, they didn't try... Like, usually at least that opening display is amazing. Like, I remember the year they did the Sorcerer Mickey. It was cool. The Tunnel of Love with Donald and Daisy. Remember that one?
Yep.
Like, there's been some really cool displays. But this year... Like, even the food booths, the new items. Like, none of the new items except the cake were really that good.
For me, it's more of a portion thing. I don't remember being so negative about the... Because we've been paying these prices for 3 or 4 or 5 years now. And sure, they've gone up 50 cents, but, you know, the value isn't between 5 and 5.50. But you can get 2 pounds of pork for $6.
Yeah.
You get 4 bites.
So, I don't know. Get the grits and the hash and the cake and maybe look at... You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. Maybe you're someone that stretched out the neck on that.
All right.
Anyway,
you guys want to hear from Jennifer Goodwin?
Let's see, Jennifer Goodwin will come back and we'll see who hates me. How about that?
How much time do you have?
We heard from Jason Bateman, who was thrilled to be in the Disney animated film. But as we'll find out here in part 3 of Zootopia. But as we'll find out here in part 3 of our Zootopia series, Jennifer Goodwin was just about jumping for joy when she got the phone call.
I go to Disneyland like once a month, as I think everybody kind of knows. And I saw a Disneyland goer wearing a Judy Hopps backpack like 2 months ago. And I followed her around like a stalker. And I also like desperately want to buy every piece of merchandise, but I've been told by Disney like, wait, like we'll send you some merchandise. I'm like, yeah, but I just want to go to the store and like buy every single thing on that wall. I mean, on that Zootopia wall.
If you've seen Zootopia, you know how powerful of a film it is. It even had Jennifer questioning, was this her most powerful role to date?
My agent actually asked me when we left the... We were leaving the screening recently, and she said, she's my film agent, and she said, I don't really know what we do with you after this, because you just played, like, maybe the best written female character in film, and she's animated. I don't know how we follow this up, so you should probably go ahead and get a tattoo. Get the funny tattooed on you, like, you did it. You know, it is a comedy, it's an action movie, it's a buddy cop movie, it's about friendship, it's an homage to film noir and Hollywood, and yet there are overlying themes and underlying themes that I hope are the things that people really be carrying with them. You know, I love, most articulated is that idea that either you are what you are or anyone can be anything. And then there are ideas about taking responsibility for our actions. And I think it was a really ballsy move for Disney to make the statements that they're making, and yet they're not doing it in a message movie-esque kind of way. They're just simply asking questions and leaving it. You know, you respect their audience enough to leave it to the audience to make their own decisions about.
Hello? I'm here to ask you some questions about a case.
Then they should have gotten a real cop to solve it.
You are under arrest.
For what? Hurting your feelings?
You are a key witness.
No, he is.
When I got the call, my agency that said, well, don't you, because I said I'm in. They said John Lasseter, they said Disney, like, it didn't take much. And I said I'm in, and they said, well, don't you want to know what the offer is? And I said, no, I want you to make this legally binding by calling. And I'm doing it so that they can't back out of this offer. And then you can call me back and tell me what it is.
We heard Jason Bateman speak of this film's legacy, but could it be immortalized at the Disney parks?
I've been talking about this like to the higher-ups every time I run into anyone that runs that studio or that park, because I can't think of anything better than having like a full-blown Zootopia at the park. I mean, I want all of the world.
We heard some great news recently about Big Hero 6 and, of course, Tangled, coming as Disney animated television shows very soon. What if Zootopia got this treatment? Would Jennifer want to be involved?
Oh my gosh, hands down. Like, again, I don't think I could I'd be devastated if it was even considered that anybody else would play her.
Jennifer, of course, is a seasoned actress, and she's not a newbie to an animated character, but this is her first animated feature-length film, and she talks about that.
It's challenging, but it's more liberating to me than live-action acting. Also, there's a protectivism, like a protectiveness that we have over our live-action characters, and that sometimes like, we've created that, and then when we're toys over acting, it's about relinquishing all of that control. It's an animator's medium, and it's an editor's medium, and it's really about just giving the directors 400,000 versions of every scene and letting them piece together what the character is going to be, and we don't know what that's going to look like until we see the film.
At its core, what makes this so special for her is she's a big Disney fan at heart.
My favorite attraction is Haunted Mansion. I know it's, you know, isn't really, I mean, I know it's not like in keeping with like the Disney catalog, like the story of the animated catalog, but that is my favorite ride. I think my favorite movie changes depending on like where I am sort of in my life, which I think is part of what makes Disney so incredible. Like right now I'm having a Beauty and the Beast moment because I really appreciate that you've got a lead character whose self-worth is found in her intelligence. And that certainly, you know, I feel like there are lessons in that movie.
Coming up in our fourth and final part of this series, we will hear from the directors of Zootopia. All right, but now it is time for you know, one of my favorite segments in the show. Who hates Tom now? All right, so Tom, here you go. I didn't find any really new ones, but I went back and found a little bit of a theme going here. People that were kind of making fun of you for certain words and things that you were putting in the articles. One person, I went back to the new entertainment coming to Epcot post that you had a while back. Very informative post there. Speculative, to say the best. But somebody wrote in, with what is being stated above in this article, I find it very difficult to believe that if, big capitals, if such a quote-unquote larger-than-life interactive, quote, spectacle is coming to Epcot in 2016, then certainly no from-the-ground-up construction is needed. Now, she had such a problem with your use of the word spectacle that she included the definition of spectacle. Spectacle, by definition, is a very impressive show, something that attracts attention because it is very unusual or shocking. So she had a big problem with you using the word spectacle there to describe the new stuff coming to Epcot.
I guess on the scale of things people have a problem with me for, that's
they
pretty
do.
Low.
They do. I also have one here for the Skipper Canteen. Skipper Canteen, this person hates you because you failed to show.
So, hey, this one, why did you set me up with this one? Because, hey, you know what happened? I called it.
You failed to show, anyway, in this article, any proof that this is happening. No press release from Disney?
This was when I posted confirmed, because I had confirmed that there was a Jungle Cruise restaurant coming, which, correct me if I'm wrong, that happened.
There's no permit with details of the new restaurant or even a Disney spokesperson being quoted. How can this be confirmed if there's no proof to back up your claim?
I have.
But the best part of this is,
there's no live chat.
The best part of this is at the end, they wrote, also, would it be wise to trust an article with a vast amount of grammar and spelling errors? They spelt Disney wrong. They spelt it D-O-S-N-E-Y. So they hate you, but I think you have reason to hate them right back.
Sometimes I am guilty of spelling errors simply because
you try to get the news out
fast. I try to get the news out very quickly, and I actually go back and spell check like after. But
yeah. You didn't make it three words into that Liberty Tree Tavern.
Did I not?
Not three words.
Yeah. Was it tree?
I was going to make fun of you, but it seemed mean.
You can.
I would never do that.
I only have a journalism degree.
Mm. Do you?
I do.
Interesting.
Journalism and political science.
Mm.
I have a PhD in Disney blogging. Everybody already knows that.
Nick, we're over time. Are we still on the radio?
Yeah, unfortunately so. Sorry, Bloomberg.
No, I don't know.
Not tonight. All right, well, we'll be back. We'll be back next week. Definitely go to WDWNT.com, and I'll figure something out. I'll be back next week. Tom, have a great trip.
Thank you, Nick. And remember, kids, that clever paint mixer of yours just sloshed paint across my rump. A rumpus. A room. When can we do this again?
The final part of our look at Zootopia, we hear from directors Byron Howard and Rich Moore. They worked on other Disney films such as Wreck-It Ralph and Tangled, and here they talk about what's at the heart of Disney animated films.
Well, I've always liked characters. It's always been my favorite part of animation and directing. The world building is wonderful, and crafting the story is great, but I love working with the characters, and that just became even more of a passion on Wreck-It Ralph. It was kind of realizing that the heart, like you hear the word, Disney movies have heart, you know, it's got to have heart.
Zootopia is a complex world, and it took a lot of effort to set up how the society interacts in the film.
Your two main characters, and that just kind of ignited even my deeper love for the characters in the films. For me, if we can nail those characters and really want them to achieve the things that they're going for, you know, then to me it makes the movie better, and it just makes the experience better. And our animators are at such a high level now of just the acting, you know. Their performances they blow me away every time. I thought we couldn't get better with Wreck-It Ralph, and then to see like where these guys have gone.
Tangled was a romance, and this one isn't, but the fact that relationship between Nick and Pops is so emotionally strong, and that you feel them change because of each other. I think that's why we wind up doing buddy movies so often in animation, to watch characters change each other and become more whole as a pair than they were alone. I think it's really rewarding. I think their brave leadership is, it's great that they're not asking us to dumb things down or whitewash things. Yeah. And it's great. We work at a terrific place, and John is a terrific boss because I think he believes in telling difficult stories, and I think he believes that animation can be more than just cheap jokes and pretty colors. It can make people think, and it's all in service of telling a great story. Like, we never started with like a political agenda or trying to have some intellectual point. It all came from the research where we figured out that mammals are 90% prey animals and 10% predator. We thought, well, that's a really interesting fact, that if animals evolved and built this metropolis, did they really leave that mistrust of each other completely behind, or does it still lurk under the surface somewhere?
At the heart of Zootopia are its characters, Judy and Nick.
Especially with someone like Judy, who has this pure heart. You think, you know, you could have played her completely Pollyanna and squeaky clean, but she has this, it's a pretty big flaw that she owns up to, and she steps up and she grows. And it's a maturity story for her. And at the same time, this cynical guy that she connects with, that Frank Capra core kind of lifts that character up to realize he had lost something in his childhood that he really valued, and that sort of symbiosis that happens between them is great. Again, it's not a romance, but there's something so strong that's happening emotionally between the two of them that it takes the place of that, I think. Nick's interesting because he started out as the protagonist of the story, and we spent a long time, maybe like a year, searching for what made him layered and complex. That he had a lot of backstory sort of built into that character because he was the protagonist. So when we did the flip, there was, I think, that awareness from us that he needed to have something significant in his background that caused that cynicism. For Flynn, it was just like, oh, I want a castle. That depth was there from the beginning, but it's just been buried.
It's so much homework that was done. Yeah, for about a year or more, you know, working with Jason, too, on that character.
Yeah.
The directors also talked about the lush world building that went into the film and contributed to the story in ways that didn't necessarily make it to the screen.
Now there's, I think we made a choice early on to kind of, we said Predator and Prey, that's what the story's based around, is strongest and clearest in the mammal world. Like, once you get outside of mammals, it gets really dubious and tricky and can't really
tell. It's basically outside of mammals. The bigger animal, you know, the bigger lizard is the predator. The small guy is the prey.
And they all instep down the line.
They could change 100 times a day.
And insects and fish, actually, because we know this as filmmakers, we actually don't tell the audience this. It's very subtle. But we need something for the predators to be able to eat, because some predators, like wolves, can't survive on any sort of vegetable protein. They have to have some sort of, like, meat protein. So in this world, the most popular fast food place for our predators is called Bug Burger. And Bug Burger, you can go and get a grasshopper shake or cricket chips or a cicada burger, and it's all viable protein. And you'll see in one scene where Nick is telling Judy that she'll never be a real cop and you're going to go back home and be a carrot farmer, he takes part of a fence and he moves it aside. And if you look down by his feet, there are Bug Burger boxes in the litter on the ground. Nice. But that's one of the only places in the movie that you actually...
It used to be a bigger point.
Oh, yeah.
There's a bigger point to it.
Thank you for joining us for our look at Zootopia through the filmmakers and stars' eyes. For more Zootopia coverage, visit WDWNT.com.
Try!